Robin McCarron.
Hashtag authority. Hashtag Steph Bouncy. Hashtag SmackDown 15.
Jeff Hawkins.
You done digging that hole?
You're listening to Shake Them Ropes with Robin McCarron and Jeff Hawkins.
Dance on your grave, dirt sheet writer. Well, I ain't no saint, and you sure as hell ain't no savior. Every other Christmas, I would practice good behavior. That was then, this is now. Don't ask me to be Mr. Clean, because, baby, I don't know how. The Allman Brothers Band, Wasted Words. R.I.P. to the late, great Greg Allman. So this week was a yin-yang sort of week in the WWE. Yin, a very good main event on Raw, a pretty fun table for three, and a good segment to set up the women's Money in the Bank. Yang, that Alexa Bliss Bayley segment has the potential to absolutely bury Bayley for good. I'll explain why. Yin, fun mysteries on Raw with Enzo and Film Noir Fashion Police. Yang, Baron Corbin shoehorning Cartman references. Okay, we get it. Kevin Owens and Cartman are overweight. Stop trying to make fetch happen. Yin, awesome promos by Tommaso Ciampa and Goldust. Yang, not to crowd shame, but that Full Sail self-aware crowd has a little bit of responsibility to play along and help Ciampa here on a big moment, in my opinion. I might be wrong. Yin, I watched Great American Bash 89. Yang, it was for Sid. Rob, this is the last week. Don't make me do this anymore. Don't make me do this anymore. I'll be good. I promise I'll be good. I'll behave, Rob. Don't make me watch more Sid. Please don't make me watch more Sid.
All right, I have good news and bad news. The good news is you won't have to watch Sid every week. The bad news is you'll have to watch him every other week.
Okay.
We're going to alternate. This week in Sidstery, you will pick one, then I will pick one, then you will pick one.
Wait, that doesn't make sense. This week in Sidstery means I have to watch Sid every week still. It just
you
means
don't have
I get to pick the match.
Yeah, oh. You don't, if you don't want to. This week in Sidstery can be sitting out a week. I don't know.
Broken Jeff Hawkins coming
yes.
soon.
Oh, don't say that too many times, though. We might get some legal letters coming our way. Yes. I don't want that. I guess the way you made it sound like there's a lot to talk about, and
I think so. Well, I do.
Wait, it's yeah. Everything I have in my notes, I'll read you my notes right now. No idea what to talk about, plus Extreme Rules.
Oh, okay.
That's good. I mean, I'm just out of touch with what's hot right now. Anyway, first I want to get to this. What the hell? Explain this to me. As if I'm 6 years old.
Okay.
The hell's going on with Kurt Angle and Corey Graves?
I think this is basically Stephanie.
And you believe that Stephanie is texting Corey Graves, and Corey Graves betrays Stephanie and just shows Kurt Angle what's being said about him behind his back.
No, I think he was supposed to show the text message to him. I think he's a mole.
He's not being a very good mole because all of his actions are on television.
It's interesting. I mean, the best thing I read, and this is not my idea, someone reminded me of it, was Corey Graves' involvement in the Enzo thing, which I thought, you know what, I liked that segment. It felt real to me, the whole big cast coming out. Because if you recall last week, Corey Graves says, I'd like to shake the hand of the man who jumped Enzo. Well, what did he and Cass do this week? Shook hands.
And do you believe that you might be paying a little bit too close attention?
I think so. I think it's a red herring, and I hope it is.
I hope that they're actually I don't even know if it's a red herring. I think it's just like, oh, he... I don't think they expect anyone to notice things like that, but that's very good perceptiveness out of you. Interesting. Do you think Corey Graves might become an on-screen character outside of an announcer, or can he be both? Can he be the announcer and still a character in certain ways?
You want him to leave us with Booker T or David Otunga?
I want him
in that booth. I mean, I think he'd be a great manager, but I don't want him there. Not now.
Yeah,
I already got enough bad announcing. I need something that he's at least halfway decent.
He is halfway decent. He's good. He's showing, and it, which is crazy too, because when he first started, man, oh, he was so bad. But that's why he was down in NXT, and he was not a regular time announcer. It's like he would do it sparingly on the indies, just at a booth for fun. And now he's great. I mean, he's absolutely fantastic. As long as he doesn't go like too charactery, which is always the reason. You know, Jerry Lawler was good at announcing once, and then he gets too charactery. And JBL is okay when he's, you know, serious about it. Yeah, as long as he doesn't get too much of a, applaud all of the baby faces or applaud all of the heels. Either way, as long as he's more even-sided, that should be good. But yeah, I just thought with the way they were spursing him in on other things, it was like, are they going to make him a character and take him out of the booth? And no, I hope that does not happen.
No, but it's part of that whole office politics thing that Raw does. It's not really the wrestling show. It's the show behind the wrestling show. So he's becoming a part of that character that can, you know, go backstage and talk to the general manager and that kind of thing.
It is getting to be, I mean, it's been 2 months now, right? Since we really haven't had Stephanie or Triple H on there. And Kurt Angle has had autonomous power by himself. Like, he's just out there doing whatever he wants.
I don't know. It depends on how everything goes because, you know, Sami Zayn can get beat down and stretchered out and appear the next week. Meanwhile, Johnny Gargano has taken an extended leave of absence. So who knows anymore how long these types of things last?
Well, Sami Zayn knows if he misses too many weeks of action, like, he'll just be forgotten. He is that guy. We haven't had Daniel Bryan in a while. I mean, it's gotten to the point where we basically have one power authority on each show. It's Kurt Angle.
Look, I will take Daniel Bryan doing his paternal duties, and I'll take Shane on talking smack over JBL.
Yeah,
I don't think Shane's anything.
Neither of them are any
talking
good.
Smack, but
neither of them are any good.
He's heads and he doesn't get in the way like JBL does.
Is talking smack? I mean, thankfully you got the New Day on there. Imagine if New Day was still on Raw. Talking Smack would not be a show anyone would watch. And it would have gone from, like, okay, best weekly episodic show to worst episodic show. Like, why do we have this show existing right now? It's all the New Day at this moment. Shane McMahon seems like it's just the end of a long night and he doesn't care too much. He knows what he has to say to put things over, but he shows no energy in a lot of ways.
He has his moments.
He has moments, though.
It's not what it was.
Daniel Bryan looked like he was the most excited kid on television every single minute he was on screen. Mm-hmm. And you know he's not. You know he wishes he could be doing anything else. Shane McMahon's got to get the energy up a little bit. He's got to get the energy up.
All right, Rob, pick a door. Effusive praise or something I want to rant about. Which do you want?
Oh, where's my spinning wheel music sound effect? I don't have it. I am going to flip a coin here. I just happen to have 6 pennies laying next to me, which is odd, I guess. All right. Heads will be ranting and tails will be whatever the other thing was. Are you ready?
Effusive praise.
Effusive praise.
Which you'll need to help me a little bit.
I don't think that's a word either. Praise, I've never heard of it. All right. Dude, it is heads. It looks like we're in for a rant.
All right. Alexa Bliss Bailey. This thing
this
was
segment,
I mean,
this segment was delightful. I love this segment.
You can die in a fire, Rob. I am seething about this. Not just from the point of view that I like Bailey as a performer, and also I liked her potential for marketability.
All right, let me mark this.
A lot of what? What are you gonna mark?
I'm marking the timestamp for when Jeff says I like Bailey. That'll be a drop next week.
Hey, I do.
Go up.
Look, there were comparisons of this to the old day segment. The difference with those two things was that the next week, the New Day came out and said it was a bad segment, and everybody forgot about it because it was bad comedy.
I forgot about
this. This is a second layer of destructiveness, not just for Alexa Bliss, who did her best.
Yeah. This is what I was afraid of. I was afraid that too many people are going to focus on how this makes Bailey look, and yes, it doesn't make Bailey look great. it's worse, I think, almost for Alexa Bliss, because it undercuts any type of heel authority this person would have, any type of heel credibility. It's just going out there. It's supposed to be her going out there and being mean, but being mean to get Bayley all riled up. But it's
it shows they don't get her character. Yeah. It shows they don't get her character.
They don't get anyone's character, first of all.
And there's so much that's bad about this for me. So those of you who don't like when I constantly complain, just, you know, fast forward a couple minutes here.
And it's one segment, and don't even try to pretend like you like this and you were coming here for our praise of it.
Yeah, look, number one, it's redundant. It's not redundant, but it takes something that already exists and tries to clone it for any nostalgia reasons that we may like it. And The Rock, This Is Your Life, I'm going to be honest, wasn't that good. It was the highest rated segment in Raw history or whatever. I get that.
And I think that's why people think they remember it being good. It wasn't. It was super long. It was 20 minutes long, right? It were like 20 to a half an hour.
It overstayed its welcome. And it didn't make Mick Foley look very good at the end. So,
but also he wasn't a heel trying to play down on Rock. This was his goofy, like, celebration of The Rock's life. You can get away with a segment like this if it's like two friends, like if Edge was doing this to Christian or the other way around. And it's like bad, but it's like playful. So you don't have to try and get mad at it. And we're not supposed to get mad at it.
Yeah. And every time they've tried to repeat it, it's failed. It's failed miserably. So they did it again, which angers me to no end. Alexa did her best to control the crowd, but she couldn't control that crowd once they turned on her. It was just yeoman's work. And what are they saying about this Bayley character right now? This is what they've told you. She's a shut-in dork who gave up being cool to watch the WWE's own product, which is mind-blowing in its own lack of self-realization. And plus, I haven't heard anybody mention this, and maybe I'm reading far too into it, but did they imply an inappropriate relationship between Bayley and her father in this thing? Because it felt like it to me. I may be totally off base on this, but there's that extra creep factor in there that just makes this whole thing not just destructive, but skeevy and creepy and icky, and it makes me want to take a shower.
And did you?
Later.
Okay.
I just went, who? And then she comes out because she's so angry about this segment. Ooh, I'm mad. And gets her ass kicked. And I don't think she's getting her comeuppance at Extreme Rules, other than a couple of shots. So what are we doing here, man? Really? This is how we're treating this hugely popular property we brought up for NXT. I don't know, Rob. I watched this and I went, this is one of those moments where you hope nobody walks into the room and asks why you watch this, but also makes you question yourself if you're sitting on your couch alone going, why are you watching this?
It was strange too, because like, this is your main program is Bayley and Alexa Bliss. You have Sasha Banks, who's moved on. Right now, it's a feuding with Alicia Fox as part of the Rich Swann and Noam Dar program.
That was a little creepy too, but nevertheless, I mean,
There's a lot of creepiness, and you can understand why. It's, you don't have women writers writing women; you have male writers who are trying to improve.
I don't buy that. Okay, I don't buy that, Rob. You can be a male and look. I know male writers in Hollywood. I was a male writer in Hollywood.
This isn't Hollywood. This isn't Hollywood.
I know. But you even juxtapose it to your other show. And Nia Jax brought this up on her Twitter. They're using everybody on that roster. Now, they may be using everybody in every match on that roster.
On the SmackDown side, you mean?
Yes.
Yeah, because there's only five of them.
Yes. So they just throw them all together. Actually, there's six.
On the SmackDown side?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, because, yes. Well, who's the six? We got Naomi, Charlotte, and Becky Lynch.
Uh-huh.
And we got Natalia and Carmella.
Tamina.
And Tamina. That's right. There's six. But there's only five in the Money in the Bank match. Is that right? That,
right.
That was created?
Yes, that's correct. And that was a great... I thought that was a pretty darn good segment.
Because it's the number one contendership. So yeah, what the hell's Naomi going to do? Is Naomi just not wrestling on the show again? Is there not going to be a title match? Or do we have a number one contender? Do we actually have a title match for SmackDown's pay-per-view coming up?
We don't.
We don't. We don't have Naomi facing anyone. What is she going to do? Two pay-per-views in a row.
It's fine. I'm fine with it. They're at least trying. And but I think it's mostly because Charlotte's on that roster.
Oh, yeah.
But still, but they're trying with
your
with
focus
one
is on Charlotte.
With,
your focus is on
group,
Charlotte.
It's, yeah, and with one group, they don't give a crap. So it's just, it's...
And if you're Emma, you know, out injured, you have Dana Brooke on the Raw side not doing anything with Nia Jax at the moment. Emma, if they try to bring her back and still keep her on the Raw roster, like, what does that mean? There's a spot on SmackDown. Now, of course, you're doing the multi-women Money in the Bank ladder match, which, by the way, we talked about a little bit last week. Super cool, and we'll get into that one. You still have to have Naomi wrestling on that show. Emma fitting
Lana's
on SmackDown.
Out there.
Lana, yeah, we have Lana coming in. Yeah, that's true. We do have Lana coming in. Yeah, we'll see what happens. I do like that they made that Money in the Bank announcement, but we will talk about Money in the Bank, what's coming up after we get into Extreme Rules. But you are right. The Bayley segment did no favors for anybody. Everyone who calls for giving the women more time on Raw because you have entertaining characters there, it would be great to give them time. It can't be just any time. Like, it has to be important, meaningful time. It's the same thing if you were hoping for time for Neville, you know, before he became this kick-ass character and he was just getting on TV doing weird stuff that didn't fit anything. Like, that's no good. Oh, yeah, we want time for this guy. We want time for this girl. And then that's what they give you. This did no good.
Hey,
for
Rob,
anyone.
I thought of two more females on the SmackDown roster.
Yeah.
You have Tyler Breeze in the silhouette of Summer Rae.
Summer Rae? Tyler Breeze, of course, not a female. Tyler Breeze, a manly male.
Nor is that his silhouette that showed up last night in a great... I loved that film noir. I did. I really did. I liked that a lot.
But Summer Rae coming up would be cool, too. Like, Summer Rae? Hey, there you go, Summer Rae. You still have Paige out there.
Yeah.
What could have been? What could have been? Maybe... Maybe one of the best times in WWE women's history right now. And Paige came in a little bit too early and didn't get to stand for the big time revolution, if you will. That's kind of a shame because she could fit in for many years. But we'll see. We'll see what happens with Paige. Yeah, let's talk about this Extreme Rules pay-per-view. Because did you know, Jeff, that it's happening on Sunday?
I did.
Oh, look at us. Look at us.
You know what? It's the one time WWE gets Extreme. Except for all the other times, like TLC.
Cage matches, TLC.
Hell in the Cell.
Hell, the next pay-per-view is going to feature two ladder matches.
Yeah.
Two of them.
You know, a multi-person ladder match at WrestleMania. You know, they never get Extreme other than Extreme Rules.
Amazingly enough, though, we don't have a ladder match on this pay-per-view yet.
Yeah, they're not going to have one because it's because they want to save it for the they don't want to take any shine from Money in the Bank.
Yeah, that's why.
Rob, you don't seem to believe my excuse.
Didn't I mean Hell in the Cell happens in what, October, I believe? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then WrestleMania had Hell in the Cell 4 months after Hell in the Cell's pay-per-view. Well, because it was, you know, Triple H and Undertaker, of course. You can't.
Shane.
And you had the Shane match. You had Shane. Well, you had Shane and Undertaker, and you had Triple H and Undertaker in Hell in a Cell a couple of WrestleManias ago. I forgot all about the Shane Undertaker one, but there it is. This pay-per-view, we talked about Backlash, how it was the most brand splittiest of brand split pay-per-views. This one doesn't feel like that. It does feel kind of important. I mean, there are some wacky matches on there. Rich Swann and Sasha Banks versus Noam Dar and Alicia Fox. You have yet another Cruiserweight title match between Austin Aries and Neville, this time a submission match, which you would think fits right into Austin Aries' game plan. We have the Steel Cage tag team title match between the Hardys and Cesaro and Sheamus. Alexa Bliss, Bayley, Kendo Stick on a pole, because why the hell not? Dean Ambrose and The Miz forgot all about this match happening. If The Miz does not win, it's a travesty. And honestly, if The Miz does not win, may have to quit watching wrestling.
Wow. So this may be the last Shake Them Ropes?
This may be the last Shake... Well, no, Sunday nights would be the last one, because at least I would have watched that pay-per-view, so we can have our Extreme Rules post-show, of course. And then you have the main event. The main event of this pay-per-view, by the way, a number one contendership match. Yes. Fatal 5-Way, Roman, Seth, Finn, Bray, and Samoa. So let's get into the opening.
The whole island of Samoa.
Just Samoa. Well, you know, I got into the saying the first names, and then I get to the end there, and I'm like, ooh, how do I play this one off?
Or a box of cookies comes out there. A box of Girl Scout cookies is the number 5 out there and gets the pin.
I tell you what, though, the only thing I ever liked of Jeremy Borash is how he would introduce Samoa Joe. I just liked how Jeremy Borash said the word Samoa.
Okay.
Is that weird of me?
No.
Good.
There's certain idiosyncrasies I like. I like Penzer.
Oh, I never liked anything Penzer did.
Saying from the city of Metropolis for the skyscrapers.
Oh, I never liked Dave Penzer. You know who I also don't know? I don't like Gary Michael Capetta.
Was that Gary Michael Capetta who did that?
Of the devil, Gary Michael Capetta, who I was just about to talk about, because I watched... Someone tweeted at us, and you can reach the show at Shake Them Ropes on Twitter. Someone tweeted at us. I think they were asking about the referee, but they tweeted us a Jeff Jarrett match from Super Clash 3.
Yeah, I put Zellner on it.
Yeah, so I ended up watching that match.
Oh, did you? That's a short match, but it's not bad.
It's a short match, not bad. Jeff Jarrett, awesome, you know, as usual.
Eric Embry, not bad.
The flamboyant one. And Gary Michael Capetta was the ring announcer, reading from his gigantic notebook. And I'm like, come on, Gary Michael Capetta. Come on. What is Gary Michael Capetta doing these days? I don't even know. He was in Ring of Honor for a while.
Book tour, I think. Yeah. Or am I mixing him up with Penzer again?
I don't know.
I get those two mixed up quite a bit. I don't know why, but one of them was living in the Pittsburgh area and just had written a book and occasionally comes out and does announcing for shows.
I would imagine that's Gary Michael Capetta.
Okay.
If he's living in Pennsylvania. That's probably
he was on Colt Cabana's show, and it was pretty darn good.
I would imagine that's Gary Michael Capetta. What match on here, Jeff? I'll give you first pick. What match at Extreme Rules 2017 would we like to discuss first?
As well go with the pre-show first.
Okay, well, since there is no pre-show match currently announced.
Isn't it the mixed tag?
No, that's on the main show. There's only 6 matches on the show, man.
Jesus.
There's only 6. The Fatal 5-Way is going at least 40 with entrances.
Oh, yeah.
At least 40 with entrances. So,
mixed tag was on the pre-show.
Maybe it'll end up being, but right now, trusty old Wikipedia does not say that it is on the pre-show. So we got Rich Swann and Sasha Banks versus Noam Dar and Alicia Fox. I would imagine we get some type of match added on the pre-show. Would we get a Cass and Enzo tag match added on this? Because we don't have them. We don't have Gallows and Anderson currently announced. And we don't have Dana Brooke or Nia Jax announced for anything currently. So there could be more matches added.
Yeah, I think the tag team may happen, or it might be just a singles like Big Cass against Carl Anderson, just so that Anderson can take a loss.
As long as it's Anderson and not Luke Gallows, because I like Luke Gallows. I would not want to see Cass and Gallows in a one-on-one match right now, but Carl Anderson can make something happen.
Okay.
So yeah, let's talk about the hypothetical match that may not even happen between Carl Anderson and Big Cass on the kickoff show.
No.
All right.
No.
Rich Swann and Sasha Banks versus Noam Dar, Alicia Fox. Noam Dar got the win on 205 Live. So this basically, to me, signals that Rich Swann and Sasha Banks will get their happy ending, and they will be victorious in this mixed tag match.
And I think they'll dance. What do you think?
I think they're going to dance. Yes, I believe that is something that will happen. They are going to dance. Now, the question is, do they dance before the match or after the match? Or, Jeff, and this is very important, listen closely. Will they dance both after and before?
I think Rich will dance before the match. I think both will dance after the match.
Now, would that be because Sasha is a little bit apprehensive, or she just does not get into the dance early on? Is she too focused on her opponent?
It is not part of her entrance to dance, so she will be focused,
right,
quote unquote.
But
yes.
Not part of the entrance. What happens when she gets in the ring and Rich Swann is right there dancing, and maybe she just starts to feel it a little bit?
No. I think she'll probably be upset she's in a mixed tag and probably not want to at that point. And then I have to do her corporate duty after the match.
Okay. I feel like we're at an impasse here.
Okay.
Because I feel like she's going to dance before the match.
God, Rob, when you troll me, I just say there are times where I'm just like, damn it, he got me again because he came in all serious and crap. All right, move on.
Neville and Austin Aries submission match for the Cruiserweight Championship. This is the third one on pay-per-view. Mm. What do they do?
Everything screams to me. Aries got the clean tap out on TV, so he loses again. I can't shake this feeling that they're not going to pay off Austin Aries, and that they think that there's someone out there that is a bigger star they can eventually put the belt on, and might be Enzo, to be honest with you.
Could be Enzo. But could be the old returning Cedric Alexander. Cedric's back.
Yeah.
Cedric's back.
I just don't know. But I get the feeling that they're going to play up. Yeah, he tapped him before, but I don't think he's going to get it that second time. I think Neville's going to win.
I think Neville would win here too, but that does two things. Like, if Austin Aries won, it means we'd have to get another Neville Austin Aries match. And would they want to go another pay-per-view? Or they could do the rematch on 205 Live like the next day, you know, 2 days after this pay-per-view, and just be done. Austin Aries gets the win, and guess what? He's champion now, and he moves on to someone else.
I think they're going to pay off the TJ Perkins thing, though. So maybe TJ interferes here to cost Aries the match. So in their mind, it doesn't hurt Aries that much, and then they can pay off the Neville storyline where Neville just beats the crap out of TJP.
You could do a number of things there. Now, what if, so if Neville wins, he has to move on. You can't just keep going with Austin Aries. I mean, this is the third time now. This feud has been happening since early March. So it's been a long one for the WWE. Neville's been so great as champion, but maybe they want Austin Aries. Maybe they want a new flavor as champion, because if you're still attempting to like save the 205 Live show, you might want some new juice, and the new juice would be Austin Aries as the champion and maybe defending that belt again on the Tuesday afterwards. Like, could it be that they're thinking that short term where they're like, okay, what do we do for Tuesday? It'd be really cool if we had a title match to promote. The only way we can have a title match to promote is if Austin Aries is the champion, because we can't do Neville and Austin Aries for a fourth time after a submission match, after this, this stipulation match. We just can't do it again. So right. For that reason, I would say Austin Aries gets the win.
Okay. I know. I'm open to that.
Well, I'm glad you're open to that.
We know how they think, though. I mean, the guy who gets the loss usually gets the win on the pay-per-view. It's so weird.
But guess when that did not happen?
I got the stat that it's only happened 55% of the time this year.
Yeah, it didn't happen with Sami Zayn and Baron Corbin. It did happen with Luke Harper and Rowan, though.
Yes.
On the very same show. And I feel like Austin Aries, or not Austin Aries, but AJ Styles has lost on, or won on the Go Home SmackDowns, and then won his pay-per-view match a couple of times.
Okay.
I feel like that's a thing. And because I feel it, it must have happened.
Yes, if you feel it, it must be true.
The Hardy Boys, Matt Hardy, Jeff Hardy, going up against Cesaro and Sheamus. The tag team steel cage match for the WWE Raw tag team titles, the most prestigious championships, Jeff, since last night.
Mm.
Because Monday's next, so it's the most prestigious. After Monday, the SmackDown titles will be the most prestigious. But anyway, the Hardy Boys, Cesaro and Sheamus, cage match, chicanery can happen, sir.
You think chicanery is going to happen?
I said it could. And if chicanery happens, Cesaro and Sheamus win.
I think Cesaro and Sheamus win regardless. I think Jeff's going to probably hurt himself doing a swanton off the top of the cage. I don't think the Anthem legal troubles have cleared themselves up, so it's not going to open up the broken thing. But I think just to freshen it up, they're going to put the belts on Cesaro and Sheamus.
I think to freshen things up, to get rematches for the Hardy Boys, because I think the Hardy Boys win the tag team titles back from Cesaro and Sheamus. Because I think they're, and maybe it happens all the way at SummerSlam. I think the Hardy Boys are in a title match regardless at SummerSlam, but they don't have to be the champions going into it. And again, this broken thing, they're not going to be the broken Hardys. Even if Anthem said, okay, here's the broken characters. You own all of it. You can have it. You don't even have to pay us, blah, 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 whatever. Even if they gave it to the Hardy Boys, they are not going to be the broken Hardys in WWE ever. And I will go as far as to say, if they ever became the broken Hardys in WWE, I would eat my hat.
You already owe us a hat, Welcher.
I would eat my hat if they ever became the broken Hardys in WWE. Hold on, it just does no good for Jeff Hardy. It does no good for Jeff. Maybe it does a little good for Matt Hardy. Jeff Hardy is more valuable as Jeff Hardy.
Hat not guaranteed to be eaten in any foreseeable future.
I got some recipes brewing. I just need to make it right. I'm an artiste. I can't just rush into these things.
Sure thing, Nakamura.
I can't do this. Speaking of Shinsuke Nakamura.
Aren't we on Extreme Rules?
We are.
Okay.
And who's more extreme in WWE than Shinsuke Nakamura? This guy's crazy. He's wacky. Always fighting with chairs and broken tables and kendo sticks and glass. The Shinsuke guy. Shinsuke Nakamura has wrestled a couple of times on TV here. Tag team match, singles match, blah, blah, blah. What do you make of Shinsuke wrestling on SmackDown? Is he still special? Or is it too early to tell?
They're trying to make him like every other. Like, it's almost like they look at a guy and they go, this is how a guy should be. You need to go out there and do that. As opposed to what I would do is just have him kick people in the face and leave without trying to cut a promo in English, since it's not his strong suit necessarily. Him trying to cut regular promos and standing out there and making weird faces is making him less special.
Weird faces are bad because the overacting is bad. And we would say that you can't just say, oh, it's because Shinsuke Nakamura doesn't know the mannerisms. He hasn't done it in a long time. We would bash anyone for making the mannerisms that he's making and for being so overreacting to everything.
I think he's being coached for that though too.
Well, then that's his fault, and it's the people coaching him that way.
Okay.
It's everyone's fault. Everyone but my own.
Move on.
All right, Shinsuke Nakamura, obviously one of the crown jewels of Extreme Rules. We move on to more Extreme Rules.
Oh, I know what match is going to be added that they haven't announced.
Oh, yeah?
Goldust R-Truth.
Oh, yeah, that's basically on there. I don't even know. I think that's the kickoff match. Goldust R-Truth. Imagine if that's on the real pay-per-view. Like, oh my gosh, that would make this the brand splittiest of brand split pay-per-views.
If you had Goldust and R-Truth. That Goldust promo was awesome.
Oh, no, Goldust is great. Goldust, that was perfectly fine. I always liked R-Truth. I thought they could have done more with the badass R-Truth when he was first coming back.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, he became goofy later on and all that. But you could have done something. This was also when, for any UFC fans out there, R-Truth came back to WWE when Quentin Jackson was super hot in UFC.
Right.
As just a tough-looking dude who was going to go in there and just be a badass. And that's what R-Truth could have been.
And then he said the wrong name of a city, and they never let him forget it.
Yeah, what was it, Milwaukee? Did he mess up Milwaukee?
Yeah, they were in Green Bay.
Yeah,
they were in Green Bay, and he said Milwaukee, I think.
And really, that's close enough.
Residents of Wisconsin can write to Rob McCarron at Shake Them Ropes.
I laughed because Google came out with this map of residents of states and what the most misspelled word per state was. Uh-huh. Like, what state is misspelling this word the most? And you have a lot of states misspelling, I don't even know, like misspelled, but Wisconsin residents, the most misspelled word from Wisconsin is the state of Wisconsin. Wisconsin was the most misspelled word. And I'm just looking at that, like, that seems to fit. Like, Indiana is hallelujah. Illinois is appreciate. None of these states are misspelling their own state name. Except for Wisconsin. What do you think people are putting like an extra N in there? Are people not putting the S in front of the C in Wisconsin?
Probably they're instead of S-I-N, they go S-E-N. Wisconsin.
Oh, maybe. Maybe that's it. Maybe that's it. I couldn't even understand Michigan's because Michigan is misspelling pneumonia.
Mm.
Everyone getting it up there, you know.
They forget the P.
Forget the P. Or the E and the U are misplaced.
Do you have the list in front of you?
I do, actually. America's most misspelled words. Top.
What is the one for Tennessee? Because it shocks me that Tennessee isn't the most misspelled for them.
Chaos.
Get out. Chaos?
Chaos.
What, they spell with a K?
Chaos. I don't know. They're misspelling it. Whatever they're doing, they're misspelling it.
Residents of Tennessee can write me at CrabGame13.
America's most misspelled words, top searched how to spell by state. So you put how to spell and then the word, and that's what people are trying to figure out how to spell. And people
it's
in
California, let me guess California's because it's probably either cat or avocado.
Beautiful.
Oh, we're a dumb state.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Actually, a couple of states, the number one word was beautiful. So people like, and they're in states where I don't even understand, like Kentucky, their most misspelled word is beautiful. I don't know what people are looking at in Kentucky that's beautiful.
Get back to the wrestling.
Okay. Who was that? Was that Sid? Get back in your box, Sid.
That was Joe podcast listener.
Joe podcast Samoa. Listener. Yeah, you want wrestling talk? Go listen to a wrestling podcast. All right, there's tons of them. You're at Shake Them Ropes. That's not what we do.
We do podcast entertainment.
Oh shit! Fuck! It is what we do. God damn it!
Yeah. Hey, don't cuss.
Oh, I'm sorry. God, we're gonna lose our iHeart radio slot. Mm-hmm. I don't even know what I'm gonna do. Let's see. Do you think the Hardy Boys are going to win, or do you think Cesaro and Sheamus are going to win?
I said Cesaro and Sheamus are going to win. I think Goldust will win that match.
I think Goldust will win the R-Truth match, and I think Goldust goes on to wrestle Brock Lesnar. I think he's going to be the big Brock Lesnar opponent at Great Balls of Fire. Because wouldn't that fit? Like, really, Great Balls of Fire, your opponent should be Goldust.
Hmm.
They got to stop shoehorning these Roman Reigns types into these matches. Sometimes Goldust just fits. Alexa Bliss and Bayley. This is a match. It is for a title. It is featuring a kendo stick on a pole. Alexa Bliss, obviously coming off hot, big momentum. Incredible segment on Raw this week. I don't know if you guys heard about this segment on Raw, by the way, that this is your life of Bayley. Incredible. Got a lot of heat. Highest ratings in forever.
You're getting a lot of heat right now from me. I'm seething over here. Stop it.
I think Bayley wins.
I don't.
I know.
I think Nia Jax climbs the pole for Alexa, gives her the kendo stick.
I think Bayley somehow finds that kendo stick. I bet Alexa Bliss gets it first, but somehow.
This is for the title, though. Isn't this for the title?
This is for the women's rematch? This is for the women's championship.
She ain't getting that. She's not getting the belt back.
Okay.
Unless they actually have a come to Jesus moment and go, look how damaged we made Bayley with that segment. We need to help her.
Yeah.
Which I don't know if they're that self-aware.
But if are you on the train that you think Bayley might turn heel soon?
No.
Okay. Or not Bayley. Not Bayley. I mean Sasha Banks. Sasha Banks. Sorry.
Yes.
Because if Sasha Banks is turning heel, I think she's challenging Bayley for the title. So Bayley has to have it.
Not yet.
Maybe a SummerSlam-ish?
Yeah, SummerSlam, they can do that.
Yeah, but you only have one pay-per-view between now and SummerSlam. It's the Great Balls of Fire show.
That's July, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
So
You got six weeks. They'll do a turn without explanation. It'll be fine.
Okay. I just don't. I don't see how Bayley gets another title match to win the title back. Because if Sasha Banks is turning heel, Bayley has to be champion. It has to be, and that's my reasoning for Bayley winning this match.
Okay, you know what? That's logical. I didn't think about that far in the future. Maybe Nia comes out, and then maybe Sasha comes out to even the score, and Sasha helps and eventually turns when Bayley doesn't give her a title shot immediately or something to that effect.
Could be.
I'll go. Yeah.
Dean Ambrose and The Miz. This match will solely rely on how good The Miz makes it, because Dean Ambrose sucks. He's awful. He's the worst. probably the worst Intercontinental Champion of all time. This match has the stipulation that if Dean Ambrose is disqualified, he will lose the championship. The Miz will become champion. And I always like this stipulation. I mean, I hate this stipulation, but I like it because it seems like it's an easy way out. Like, the Miz can win the title here with that disqualification, and Dean Ambrose is just like screwed, and they do the rematch. But the other way to go, there's only two ways this match can end. If The Miz gets Dean Ambrose disqualified and wins the title, or it is the red herring out there and Dean Ambrose wins. Like they do, Randy Orton and Christian had a stipulation like this, right? And
yes.
And because Randy Orton got disqualified, Christian ended up as the champion. It could go that way. But I think Dean Ambrose, this whole Dean Ambrose gimmick out there, the story is Dean Ambrose is going to, he's going to avoid getting disqualified for everything. He's going to find ways around every single thing and be the smarter man in this game and end up getting the win here. And The Miz is just going to cry.
I am going to steal the idea for the finish from Brian Alvarez, because I think his is perfect.
And can you explain to the audience who that is? Because I'm not sure anyone would know.
Okay. Brian Alvarez from Wrestling Observer / Figure Four Weekly, Figure Four Daily on the radio.
What does he do there?
He does podcasting and he writes a newsletter, or he used to write a newsletter. Yes.
Stop
trolling.
He does podcasting too? Dude, are we starting something? Are people podcasting because of us? Are we trendsetters? I think we might be pioneers. I believe we are the pioneers of pro wrestling podcasting because we have one.
Yes. Yes. Well, you know, Wade and Bruce over at PW Torch are the longest running podcast in history on a single subject, supposedly. Nevertheless, here was the finish. Maurice gets booted early. Miz tries to cheat.
That would be rude.
Miz tries to cheat or something, and Dean Ambrose ends up actually cheating or something to that effect. Or Miz, basically, let's put it this way. I can't remember the entire thing, but Miz gets caught and gets DQ'd.
He's a schemer, that guy.
Miz gets DQ'd, thus Dean wins the match and totally foils Miz's brilliant plan. Okay. He may do the Eddie Guerrero. He may bring a chair in, throw it to Miz, and lay down. That might be the way he gets around it.
He could do the Eddie Guerrero. Yes. Yeah, I think the which way do I want to go here? You know what? I'm going to go with The Miz winning the Intercontinental Championship.
That would be fine with me, because I think Miz is better with the Intercontinental Champion, to be honest with you. I like him as that secondary champion who still thinks he should be world champions, but, you know, he's never going up to challenge Brock.
I mean, let's face it. The Miz has been great. When he was Intercontinental Champion, he was fantastic. He's been great for the last year and a half. He was really good before that.
He's Dean the honky-tonk man of our generation. He deserves to break that record, to be
Dean
honest.
Ambrose, Dean Ambrose has done nothing, and he's a waste of time.
I agree.
Number one contendership. This is the match to determine who will face Brock Lesnar in the main event of the most important pay-per-view of all time, Great Balls of Fire. Roman Reigns is battling Seth Rollins, who's battling Finn Balor, who's battling Bray Wyatt, who is battling Joe from Samoa.
You mean Roman Reigns?
Dun, 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 dun. Good one. Roman Reigns is, I think, a lot of people's favorite to win this match, but dare I say Finn Balor might be the favorite to win this match. And I would say again, I think Samoa Joe is taking this one, but hold on. Seth Rollins and Brock Lesnar. We talked about it when Seth Rollins first cut his promo post-WrestleMania, how his next challenge was Brock Lesnar. I think they're still going with it. I think this has all been a big, long road to get to the place that we all thought it was going to. I think Seth Rollins is getting the win. He's going to win the main event for the Universal Championship rights to face Brock Lesnar. And I think we get Seth and Brock as the main event of Great Balls of Fire. And I think Seth Rollins loses, and maybe even because of interference from one Mr. Hunter Hearst Helmsley.
Fascinating. You didn't do a fake out for Bray Wyatt.
There's no shot. I mean, there's no shot. We got our Bray Wyatt match on that like roadblock show where it ended up being Bray, Rowan, and Luke Harper. And when we never got like a true Brock Lesnar, Bray Wyatt match, even though, you know, that would have been like the thing to do. I don't know. I don't expect Bray Wyatt to get the win here. He's the one guy I was like, no, there's no chance. I can see any of the other four getting it. Really, it kind of except for Finn Balor. I don't think Finn Balor gets this match.
I can't see them wanting to build up Joe in that way.
And it's also two heels because Brock Lesnar's kind of still a heel now.
Bad guys.
Yeah.
No, the correct answer here is Rollins, and I'll explain my answer as well. The Heyman-Balor interplay was a genuine red herring. It was to set the table for later on. Roman Reigns, they're going to save until WrestleMania to face Brock. So yes. They're going to keep them apart.
Yes.
Seth Rollins took the loss in a very good match against Roman Reigns. Seth Rollins has the story of stealing the title from Brock when he had Roman, right? Or stealing the title basically from Brock and Roman at WrestleMania. So you have that built in story with Brock. Yeah, he's the answer here.
Mm-hmm. I believe so too. I think Seth Rollins is getting the win. If I had to pick a runner up, it's probably Finn Balor. One of those two. And these are the first two guys to throw their name in the ring for Brock Lesnar. I think that's happening. Because you have to, if you're going to have Roman Reigns either go at SummerSlam or WrestleMania, as most people would assume, you have to get him in these matches where he's a possibility, but he keeps getting screwed out of it. Like Roman has to overcome and, you know, finally get a big win. But he can't take any losses. Like, it can't be a straight up number one contendership match where Roman is facing someone else and he loses, because right. That's no good. He's got to be in these opportunities where there's just too many people involved and they just slip out of his fingertips.
It's gonna be the way they did the Joe finish for that triple threat. It is a Superman punch. Someone throws Rollins throws Roman out of the ring so that you build up that quote unquote tension, and then Rollins pins Bray probably.
Yep. I believe that's what's going to happen. That is Extreme Rules. That is coming up Sunday. And Jeff Hawkins, are you good to have a show Sunday night?
Sure.
Yeah, we'll have a show. We'll have an STR. This is episode 212. We'll have episode 213 Sunday night after Extreme Rules. Money in the Bank is happening a couple of weeks away. The card right now, Jinder Mahal and Randy Orton for the world title.
Let's not talk about that. Let's not talk about that. That's weeks away.
We're not going to talk about the whole show. I'm going to run down what our card is currently, and then I want to talk a little bit about the Money in the Bank ladder match between the women. But you have Jinder Mahal and Randy Orton for the world title. You have Kevin Owens, AJ, Baron Corbin, Sami Zayn, Dolph Ziggler, and Shinsuke in the Money in the Bank ladder match for the championship contract. The Usos battling the New Day for the tag team titles. New Day made their return to TV, debuting on the SmackDown side. And then you have this Money in the Bank ladder match for the SmackDown women's title contract. Becky Lynch, Charlotte, Natalia, Tamina, and Carmella. So, of course, Naomi, the odd woman out. We'll see if she finds a way to defend her title at all. I just think I feel like it's not a good thing that Naomi is going two pay-per-views in a row without defending her championship. Even if she was in there with a jobber in a 5-minute squash just to defend the title, you got to put it on pay-per-view. You have the Money in the Bank ladder match, but you also have to show the viewers what they're wrestling for. They're wrestling for Naomi, who is this champion and a fighting champion, because not only will that put over Naomi, but say you do have a Natalia or Tamina or Carmella win this Money in the Bank ladder match, you have to put over that Naomi is a fighting champion. She's defending her title. And now this contract holder can go in there and swoop in at any time, whether Naomi is ready or not. I feel like you have to find some opponent for Naomi, even if it is a Billie Kay or a Peyton Royce or someone from NXT. You have to have her in a title match on this show.
That wouldn't be a bad call either.
I don't care who either it is.
The Australians, yeah.
Am I missing like someone on the SmackDown side that could be wrestling her? Is there Lana, maybe? But, you know, we have 2 weeks to see her come up. You got to have someone.
It's not going to be someone protected like Lana. It's going to be someone you can beat. So I would say Summer Rae would be the odds-on favorite.
Anyone, whoever it is, she's got to wrestle on the pay-per-view. She's got to defend the title. But it is cool. Ever since Sasha and Charlotte had that Hell in a Cell match, you know, anything goes right now for the women's division. You can have the gimmick matches, and it makes them feel, or it make it not just feel, but it is. It does make them an important part of the show. When your Money in the Bank pay-per-view is headlined by two Money in the Bank matches, one being for the women's title, one being for the men's title, it's cool. And it'll be a very interesting thing to see, because not only are they working against the fact that you have a men's ladder match on this very show, but you have a history of so many of these ladder matches that it's hard enough for the guys to go out there and try to find something different to do. Now, the women in this match have to go in and do something different than past ladder matches while also showing why it's an important step to have this ladder match at all. Like,
yes.
They are against a lot of things going against them. The history mm-hmm. of these ladder matches, the fact that it's the first women's Money in the Bank ladder match, a lot going against them, but you got Becky Lynch in there, you got Charlotte, you got Natalya, you got women who know how to put matches together, and very interesting to see this one. And you have six matches right now announced for Extreme Rules. We only have four going into Money in the Bank, but there's plenty of time. There's going to be other matches. The two ladder matches, though, might take up an hour and 10 minutes or so of TV time between entrances, between the craziness. You know, the men's match is probably going 30 plus entrances. The women's match is probably going at least 15 plus entrances. Half of the pay-per-view is going to be tied up in these two matches, so we may not see many more matches on this card.
That's fine with me.
American Alpha getting on this show at all?
I think they may be the guys who trashed Breezango's office.
Ah, could be. Those cowards. Trash yes, and run.
Born again as heels.
Oh, American Alpha. Maybe that's the best thing for him, though.
Yes.
To be heels on this show. So that's Money in the Bank. Of course, we will talk about it later on Shake Them Ropes before the event. That is coming up on June 18th. From St. Louis, Randy Orton wrestling in the main event in front of his hometown.
That's a heck of a promo by him.
Randy Orton's good, man.
That was an old school 80s pro babyface promo.
Yeah,
I'm going back to my hometown. I'm gonna go make them proud. That was a, you know, I don't praise Randy too much, but that was pretty cool on his part, I thought.
Tell the people about Great American Bash 1989.
No. You wasted my time on SmackDown. I want to get to the one thing that we held off this show for tonight so that I could watch.
Oh, you wanted to hold off the show till Wednesday night so you could watch the NXT TakeOver Fallout episode.
Yes.
Of
yes.
NXT. So before we get to that NXT episode, I want four words on the Sid match you watched.
I watched two matches. So, let's
was
see.
Was that four words? That was six words.
No, we'll get into Sid. Sid
was the greatest, period. Okay. Four words. Okay. Done. Ever. That's all you have to know. All right, NXT. This is the Fallout episode. We got more on Tommaso Ciampa. Tommaso Ciampa's hurt. He did it for himself. It was his moment at TakeOver. It was supposed to be their moment. Ended up being his moment. Tommaso Ciampa going away for a while. Johnny Gargano laid out for a while. Who comes back first? Who comes back stronger? What's the future hold? Jeff, give us all the answers now.
Gargano probably comes back first. Just given that Ciampa has a torn ACL in his knee, and that's look, we've been over that with Seth and my own adventures in rehabbing the knee. That could be a funny thing.
Do you what I actually imagine? It can be a funny thing. It's a bad injury. It's a long time. WrestleMania is going to be a tight corner. Can Tommaso Ciampa actually pull off what Austin Aries did and work this injury into a main roster spot on the cruiserweight division and just leave NXT altogether?
No, because they won't put him on commentary. And I think that's what really helped him. is that spot on the commentary and being that guy. Now they may try that might be a good idea, just to keep him around. And you know, if they put Ciampa on doing commentary, and maybe he could replace Percy Watson. That'd be nice.
That'd be great.
And then you do vignettes of Johnny doing rehab, you know, kayfabe rehab from this devastating turn, and you keep them apart for that long, then that would be, you know, that'd be something. I'd really like that. But, you know, I just don't know. It depends on what they want to do here. But this promo is what I wanted to see. Cause when I read it, I went, that is fantastic. It was fantastic, Rob. It is a fantastic promo by Tommaso Ciampa to open this show. It really was. It explained why he did it. He is bitter that when the rumors about the ankle, which was the original injury he was nursing, because he hurt the knee when he jumped off the ladder that one time, and he kind of hobbled a bit. But he was mad at everybody figuring out fantasy replacements for Ciampa before they even gave him a chance to work the match. And if they thought he was replaceable, Johnny probably thought he was replaceable, and he's not replaceable, Rob. As I wrote, my reaction to it was, if this were in a studio wrestling environment and you had a straight man like a David Crockett or a Tony Schiavone or a Lance Russell getting disgusted at Ciampa's comments, this would be an all-time memorable promo. That's how good this promo was. My problem was this, and I brought it up in our intro. I don't like to crowd shame. I don't. I think oh. You know. Oh, at least roster crowds, I don't crowd shame.
Crowd shame.
Full sale crowds, yes, are a little different.
Yes, give me some. Give me some crowd shaming.
And do you've it. Been through this because the Full Sail crowd went after you.
They did. They went after me at one point because they couldn't take the heat. Yes. Yes, crowd shame the NXT crowd, please.
All right, back off, creepy guy. Creepy Rob, man. That's the creepiest you've ever sounded. Anyways, crowd shame. Oh, geez. Look, don't. I think the Full Sail crowd, being as self-aware as they are at times, there's a certain responsibility for them to play along with the moment, as opposed to being ironic, disaffected, smarky wrestling fans. They do it for matches, which is fine, but on promos, you know, you got a little bit of what in here, which pissed me off, because he's giving a great promo here and he's shaming the fans, and at times the fans are applauding it. I think they need to react as if they are part of the show here, and I think they need to react a little bit more properly to Ciampa's horrendous turn on his friend. That's why I say it's a throwback promo for me, because in another era, this would have gotten him mad heat. Here, at the end, it got him boos, but it wasn't the level of, say, you can't hear yourself think because people hate you so much. And that's what it should have been, because this was the most beloved tag team on the roster. And Ciampa gave a very heartfelt, this is what do-it-yourself was all about. We're going to do it ourselves. And then you people wanted to fantasy book a partner for Johnny. And it wasn't about do-it-yourself anymore. It was a really, really phenomenal. It exceeded my expectations, because when I read it, I went, man, that thing's awesome. I want to watch this. Again, it's a star-making promo. With a tepid audience, I thought. Mm-hmm. And that to me is a bit of a shame. Because you know, the crowds now, it's not about a build to a fight. It's about the athletic spectacle, as Cornette said on this week's Table for Three. And I think the art of the intense promo to get yourself over isn't appreciated as much in some ways.
I'm with you. I liked it. We're going to have a three-way between Asuka, Ruby Riott, and Nikki Cross again coming up on NXT TV.
Gimme.
As the road to Ember Moon getting her rematch to Asuka continues. So NXT got some, it'll be an exciting summer. You know, Hideo Itami throwing tantrums, throwing horrible tantrums.
I like that too. He was born again hardcore. I thought I loved that. I loved just the simplicity of the man. I'm sorry about that handshake in the parking lot with him and Hiro, especially in the kind of the same location where Itami was quote unquote jumped and knocked out with his shoulder.
Yeah.
I thought that was a nice little coda. I you know what? I really liked that Cien Almas match with, the Brazilian guy, the guy that Aleister Black just kind of basically kicked the crap out of and pinned. What's his name? Cesar.
I don't know.
Boniano or something like that. Yeah.
Something Maldonado.
I think that kid is going to be pretty darn good eventually too.
Yeah. Just the, he's yeah. Nothing right now at the moment,
but that match shocked me because it was like, man, Cien Almas is looking great. He's smacking the crap out of people. This is, and I was thinking Mokey Mania rears its ugly head and the dude wins. And you're just like, okay, that at least furthers character development for Cien Almas. I'm not worried that he's going to lose his place on the roster, but they're giving him a losing streak gimmick because he's not focused. Whatever. It was fine. I liked that a lot.
NXT's got a lot happening. A lot happening.
And then Rob, Bobby Roode in the Bobby back Roode. Of the comp in the back of a compact car, yelling at his driver to get to a meeting. I'm like, you're not in a limo, dude. You're in like a Ford Prius or something like that. Telling your driver to hurry up. You got to be somewhere important.
Don't matter. He's a superstar.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's talk
Sid. Let's do your Sid.
No, I have no Sid. This week in Sidstory was... No, this was your week in Sidstory.
Okay, well, I watched the Great American Bash 89, which is a near and dear pay-per-view in my heart. It's a great pay-per-view, but I remember I watched this live as a kid.
All right. Enough of the preamble. Get to Sid.
Yes. You get two Sid matches here. You get a lot of Sid on here.
All right, because there's so much Sid, we're gonna cool down for a second. We're gonna close out the polls for this week.
Then we're
going to get to Sid. There are a couple of polls. I had to gauge the WWE and Shake Them Ropes audience on some very important pieces of information. Okay. One even relates to Sid.
Okay.
On the poll at Shake Them Ropes, you can vote. Was WCW great? 76% said yes. WCW is great. And the big one, will Sasha Banks dance before her tag match at Extreme Rules? Jeff, this has never happened before. 76% also say yes to that one. We had the same results on both polls right here. 76% saying yes, Sasha Banks is going to dance, and WCW is great.
Given you only put it up like 30 minutes ago, was it the same four people who...
We had, I believe at this point we have, there are multi-millions of votes in.
Okay.
Multi-millions of votes. So yes, Jeff Hawkins, Sid's the best.
All right. Look. First, you start out with a two-ring King of the Hill Battle Royal with basically the All Japan roster for 2 years later, but it was all my favorite guys who were in the mid card at that time. You know, you had Gordy and Williams and Rotunda and Sullivan and Wild Bill Irwin, who's a personal favorite, and Ron Simmons, and just these big guys clobbering each other. Once you get thrown out of one ring, you have to go into the next one, and then the two winners would face off. But before the match, they showed Teddy Long, who had been scouting. And sure enough, as fate would have it, the winner of ring number one between Sid and Brian Pillman was Sid. So Sid basks in his glory and gets on a knee and tries to get audience approval. Meanwhile, in the other ring, after battling it out, Ranger Ross was in here too. He's not my favorite. Just an aside.
Why not? He's an all-time great. What are you talking about?
Dan Spivey wins.
Okay.
So we have brand new tag team partners.
Yes.
Who may have to face off.
Ooh.
But no, logic rears its head. Teddy Long comes out to interrupt and says, nope, we're just going to split the check. What a great heel move to get over a heel team in the Skyscrapers. And the Skyscrapers just, you know, they pose and they leave because they have a match later, which I also watched. Here we go. Prepare yourself. It's the dynamic dudes of Shane Douglas and Johnny Ace versus the Skyscrapers of Teddy Long in Dan Spivey and Sid Vicious. Sid is still kind of green here, and I believe it's Dan Spivey who is showing him the ropes, so to speak. So Dan Spivey does most of the work here. This is the least I've ever seen Sid do, which is amazing to me because he was so over with this crowd. This crowd was chanting for Sid. You remember what I said last week when I go, he looks more like a pro wrestler than any guy possibly in history.
That's true.
This crowd, I mean, he got tagged in once and gave the lamest axe handle smash on the back I've ever seen to start with. A couple of bad clotheslines and tagged out. And this crowd is chanting for him to come back in after Dan Spivey is doing all this work with Johnny Ace and Shane Douglas. And every time, and Sid gets tagged in. He gets cheers from the crowd. He's getting cheers from the crowd with these sloppy clotheslines. And he actually stops during the match to do face pops to try to get himself over. When he's supposed to be the new main event heel tag team. It is absolutely amazing to watch. Now, and of course they win by dropping Johnny Ace basically on his head, which is in its own right is amazing. But I just remember my fondest memory is watching and thinking how awesome that double battle royal ending was with the Skyscrapers uniting instead of fighting. And just ooh, it's a new over tag team. 16-year-old me absolutely loved that. And I had a friend I was working with at the time. It was during my job at McDonald's, the 1 year I worked there. And that guy watched wrestling as well. So we had a lot to talk about. I remember that being a great moment. But that Sid match against Dynamic Dudes, still green as grass. Not very good. Kind of clumsy, to be honest with you. to say that Sid improved drastically, even though he's not known as a great worker, so to speak, I know you are vastly entertained by him, but he's never been a ring general.
No. But
if you think he was bad in 2000 when he broke his leg, watch the 1989 Great American Bash tag match with the Dynamic Dudes. I liked Sid as a presence. Don't get me wrong. As a wrestler, he had a lot to improve on from here.
What about Sid as a man?
As a man?
As a man.
As a manly man.
As a manly man?
A manly man. I don't know about the mullet, so the perm mullet. I could have, that phase of Sid, I could have done without, but he always scared me, so that always gave him my respect.
Do you, a lot of people equate Rick Rude as like the manliest man? Who is Sid? Where's Sid on the list? Of the men's men, like behind Rick Rude and Steven Regal.
Oh, well, Steven Regal, I'm more old school than you. I put in guys like, Ole Anderson and Harley Race and Dick Murdoch as manly men, even Dusty when he would be serious as, you know, Dick Slater is up there. But, you know, Sid's on that list. Rick Rude too. Rick Rude just, hearing the stories of him, you know, just like smacking the Ultimate Warrior, just go, God, I'm glad I never met. He always just, look, if you could pull off a stash and nothing else and people remember you for that, you're a manly man.